I'm going to start tonight by reading from Luke's Gospel, chapter 22. Jesus institutes the Eucharist. And when the hour came, he sat at table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I shall not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a chalice, and when he had given thanks, he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on I shall not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise the chalice after supper, saying, this chalice which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, thank you for being here with us in the Blessed Sacrament. Thank you for wanting to be here. Thank you for wanting to prolong your presence all throughout time so that you could be with us. Lord Jesus, we want to be here with you tonight. We want to connect with you. We believe that you want to connect with us. We pray for this greater connection with you, Lord. Please open up our hearts and our minds to receive your Holy Spirit tonight in greater abundance. Help us to appreciate more and more just how connected you want to be with us. Help us to give thanks always and everywhere for this great gift of the Blessed Sacrament. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son. Help us as sons and daughters in the Son to appreciate more what it means to be your children. And let us all pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So our theme for these weeks, these months, is Eucharisteo, to give thanks. From the Greek, that's where we get our word Eucharist from, to give thanks. And as I mentioned in this opening prayer here, God wants to connect with us. If there's one word, if there's one thought that you take away tonight, at least the one that I have on my heart, it's connect. It's connection. We're more and more aware of our connection these days with our phones and Wi-Fi. And what kind of a connection do I have? How strong is it? Well, God wants to have a connection with each and every one of you. And he wants it to be strong. He wants it to be personal. He wants it to be profound, intimate, transforming. And I thought we could reflect on that together here tonight. It's so obvious, maybe, that we overlook it. And that's why I wanted to highlight it. But Jesus so often
He says so much without saying anything at all. We read tonight from Luke's account of the Last Supper. And Jesus said, I greatly desire to celebrate this Passover with you. And if you think about it, as he celebrated the Last Supper, as he instituted the Eucharist for the first time at the Last Supper, as he ordained his first priests, he had us in mind here tonight. Thanks. He had us in mind here tonight. It's one of the things that motivated him to institute the Blessed Sacrament. He knew that he could be with us here tonight, and he wanted to be with us here tonight. He wanted to connect with you here tonight through the Blessed Sacrament. He was looking forward to this time here tonight with all of you. He's been cooped up in the tabernacle all day. And he was just saying, I can't wait to get out and be with my friends, my brothers and sisters. I can't wait to get out to connect with them, to bless them, to love on them. And I think there's a desire in all of us that God put in our hearts to connect with God, to connect with each other. If you think about it, when do we feel happiest? When do we feel safest? When do we feel strongest? It's when we feel connected with one another and with God. We're made for that. How many of you have read about attachment theory or know about attachment theory? No? Okay, well, that's okay. You can Google it later. But it's just a very popular theory these days in psychology and human development. I mean, it's obvious in a sense, but they've now been able to study it and they can point to it and they can say this is important. And it's important for our human development to have a strong attachment to a primary caregiver, to our moms and dads. So every child needs a strong attachment to a primary caregiver if they're going to develop and be healthy and strong and interdependent, confident. And God knows that because he made us. He made us to have a connection with himself from the very beginning. When God created us, male and female, he wanted us to have a connection with each other, but with himself as well. But what happened? Well, the devil got in there and he created division. That's what he's all about, trying to disrupt that connection, trying to divide and conquer. But then God was all about reestablishing the connection with us. And in the fullness of time, as Paul said, God sent his only begotten Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, so that we might receive adoption, so that we might be reunited, so that we might be reconnected with the Father. So the Father sent the Son to reconcile us to himself. I like to call this the dynamic of God's dynamic love. That's a nice little play on words, right? But what is the dynamic? The dynamic is that the Father sends the Son. And the Son takes us and he brings us back to the Father. And once we're brought into that communion, what do? They send us back out. to be joyful missionary disciples in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Father and the Son, they sent the Spirit at the beginning of the church to create what? Connection amongst the early church, among the believers, but also, again, with the Father and the Son. The Holy Spirit is all about communion. Jesus establishes his church and institutes the Eucharist and the priesthood so that he could stay connected to his bride, to you and to me, his bride, his church. So it's something, again, it's so obvious we can overlook it. And if we overlook it, we won't appreciate it. That's why I wanted to highlight this desire of God to be connected with us here tonight. If we're going to be healthy, if we're going to be strong, if we're going to be fully functioning, running on all cylinders, got to have that connection. There's a spiritual classic called The Soul of the Apostolate. Anybody ever read that one? The Soul of the Apostolate? Okay, well, there's another one you can read. I read it as a novice. We read it in the dining room, you know, when we would have our meals in silence. The Soul of the Apostolate. And the premise of the book is, if you're going to be effective on the apostolate in your mission, in your ministry, you got to be connected to the vine. I am the vine, Jesus said. You are the branches. And yes, I want you to go out. I want you to bear fruit. But without me, you can do nothing. But with God, with that connection with God, all things are possible. Nothing is impossible for God or for his disciples who are connected to him, who are living united with him, who are in communion with him. And it's something that, again, we all desire it. And so I would just encourage you in your prayer to express that desire. Because if you think about it, as we go through life, sometimes we're not so good at connection. For one reason or another, we don't always do connections so well. I was talking to a woman recently. She's married, and she says, you know, my husband, he doesn't have any friends. I mean, sure, he's got, you know, relatives, brothers, and acquaintances, but I don't know that he has any really good male friend. I said, well, you know what? That's kind of an epidemic in our society. Men have a hard time with vulnerability. But vulnerability leads to connection. But we struggle with that. But men aren't the only ones who struggle with that. Right, ladies? Perhaps you do a little bit better at it. But even as we go through life, again, we struggle with connection sometimes. We fear it. Because we know that we can lose it, that it's tenuous, it can be disrupted, it can be broken. But God will never break it. That's the good news. God is faithful even when we are unfaithful. One of my favorite lines in Scripture is from Hebrews. And Jesus says, I will never fail you nor forsake you. It's the word of God. So you can take that to the bank. I will never fail you nor forsake you. So you can always count on having a good connection with me. And you know, there's a big lie that many people believe. Oh, if they knew the real me, nobody would like me. If God really knew me, then he wouldn't really like me, you know? Or if I show myself to God, if I show him my wounds, he's going to be turned off. Well, I can assure you, God is not turned off by your wounds. It's one of the reasons why he himself chose to suffer the way he did. It's one of the reasons why, even in his resurrected body, he has his five wounds still. Guys like to brag about their battle wounds, their scars. You know, women have a hard time understanding that, but we guys get that, right? We like to brag about our scars. Even Jesus likes to brag about his scars. But he can relate. He can relate. And your wounds can actually be a great way to connect with the Lord. You can reach out and touch your wounds to his wounds in your prayer, you know, in a spiritual way, in a mystical way. And that actually brings about great connection, great intimacy, great confidence in God's mercy, in his love, in his unconditional love. Nothing gets in the way. Another obstacle, another lie, if you will, can be, well, I'm just not good enough. I'm not worthy. I don't deserve that kind of love. Well, again, he made you worthy. He made you right with the Father. I was reflecting on Galatians with some women earlier this week. Let me read to you briefly from Galatians. And you'll recognize this famous verse from Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. But before that, Paul is talking about what Christ has done to justify believers. He says, because he was reprimanding Peter, we ourselves who are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners, yet who know that a man is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So, it's not what we do that makes us right with God. The Father sent the Son to die for us and rise from the dead to make us right with God, to justify us, to make us worthy of the Holy Spirit, of sonship with God, of divine adoption. So God's done the work for us. There's another great scripture passage, Ephesians 2. We read it today in the Liturgy of the Hours. Listen to this. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not because of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So God created us, each and every one of us, in a unique way with unique gifts to do his work. But that flows from our being. It flows from the connection, as I was saying earlier about the soul of the apostolate. Fruitfulness flows from connection. So it's not that you have to be virtuous in order to have the connection. No. Just faith. faith that God wants it
even more than you want it.
God wants the connection. And that feels good. You know, God just wants us to bask in that goodness, in his light, in his love, to receive it. So tonight I encourage you, in a sense, to be empty vessels, to be poor in spirit, to say, Lord, here I am. I offer you the only thing that's really and truly mine, and that's my brokenness, my sins, because everything good that I have, well, it came from you, and thank you. And I just want to be connected to you, Lord. So help me to be more and more connected to you. Help me to be open to the connection that you want more than I do. Here I am. Come to me. I open up my heart to you tonight, Lord, like never before. I want to be connected to you more and more. Help me to seek that connection more and more with great faith, with expectant faith, knowing, believing that you want it more than I do, that you want to make it happen, that you do make it happen. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, here in your presence in a special way, you are trying to bring about communion and connection, not just with me, but with all of my brothers and sisters. You want to make us one. In his high priestly prayer, John chapter 17, over and over again, Jesus prayed that we would be one. He was praying that we would be connected. It's what he wants more than anything. And when we experience that, that attachment to God, that connection with God, we are filled with joy. He says it in 15, 16, and 17. Not that he spoke in chapters, but over and over and over again in his Last Supper discourse. He's saying that, I'm saying these things and I'm wanting these things. I'm praying for these things so that my joy may be in them and their joy might be full, complete. So as he establishes this connection with us, we are filled with joy. He wants us to feel that joy, that happiness, knowing that we are connected to him. So, dear brothers and sisters, we pray tonight for a deeper connection. We pray that our faith in God's desire to be connected to us will increase. And we pray that that connection will be made a reality here tonight in a new way, in a more profound way, like never before. And that from here on out, from this day forward, you will keep praying for that connection and live connected to the vine and bear great fruit, fruit that will last in time and for eternity. Amen. One quick announcement that I didn't mention earlier. Tomorrow, Saturday, October 12th at noon, right here, there's going to be a rosary crusade. So check out the details. There is a flyer, but it's at 12 noon right here. And it just so happens to be the one day before October 13th, which will be the 102nd anniversary of the great miracle of the sun at Fatima. So it's a great weekend. It's the month of the rosary too. This past week on Monday, we celebrated Our Lady of the Rosary, Our Lady of Victory. So it's a great month to pray the rosary in public, to pray the rosary together, to honor Our Lady, to pray for more and more connection with our Blessed Mother and with the Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay, now we'll have about 10 minutes of silence to have that connection, to pray for that connection with the Lord as he comes to you in sacrament and in truth, in spirit.